Praise God. Praise God. I feel the supernatural power of the Holy Ghost in this place. In the name of Jesus. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, forever. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is everything. He's the first. He's the last. He exists on all eternity. He knows the answer to your problem because he's the answer to your problems. And I believe he's here to touch somebody, impact them in Jesus' name. Praise God. Thank you so much for being here. To all of our guests, it's already been mentioned, but we are so honored that you've come to join us worshiping Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And we are so, so thrilled about what God is going to do in this place. If you have your Bibles and you'd like to stand with us in honor of the reading of his word, we'll be beginning our scripture text in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. And then we're going to go over to the Gospel of Mark, also chapter 11, starting at verse 22, if you'd like to find your place. If not, you can follow us along in the screens. They'll be projecting the scriptures. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 in the New Living Translation tells us that faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Then Mark chapter 11, verses 22, going through 24, we read the account. It says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Somebody scream, faith.
Faith.
It says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. And then he qualifies it. He says, and does not doubt in his heart. I can preach right there and dismiss in 5 minutes, but you're going to be stuck with me for about 20 minutes. He said, if you don't doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Praise God. Praise God. Does anybody need a miracle from God today? Does anybody know of anybody that needs a supernatural miracle? Come on right now. Pray with me in the name of Jesus. God, we're filled right now with expectation in our hearts. This sanctuary is filled with people that need you, God. They need to hear from you, God. They need a touch from you, God. We're praying right now in the name of Jesus Christ that the Spirit of God would flow as the word is preached. That you would reach somebody by the Holy Ghost. That you would impact somebody in their hearts for eternity. And turn our lives to you in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody shout in Jesus' name. Shout in Jesus' name. Let's clap our hands and worship God right now. Expecting God to do a great work. God bless you. You may be seated. My sermon today is entitled, I Am Biased. Some people tilted their head at me a little when I told them that sermon title, including my wife, who always begs for my title every time I preach. But hang with me just for a minute, because we're going to preach about faith today, about the aspect of faith. And I often wonder why God chooses an attribute like faith to fuel and drive the supernatural in this life. Have you ever thought about that? What is it about faith that drives God to invade our lives with the miraculous? What is it about believing and being convinced that God is able that brings things into existence as though they already are? What is it about a church that is filled with expectation that God is going to do something supernatural? What is it about a person that can lay aside all doubt and say, God, you're going to do something amazing in my life? Faith is an interesting thing to ponder, actually. Faith is an interesting topic to reflect on. We know for certain that there are varying degrees of faith that can operate in the lives of Christians. The Bible tells us that we all have faith, if nothing else, saving faith, the ability to put your faith in God, in Jesus Christ, to be saved. You may be sitting here and think that your life is filled with doubt, that you can never achieve what the Christian on your pew is demonstrating of a life of faith. But God says that everybody has a measure of faith, that you can come to Him boldly and ask for salvation. But then we read about others in scriptures with what seems to be supernatural faith, earth-shaking faith, world-changing faith. And men and women of God who have the ability to believe beyond what is normal in life. That go beyond what we have experienced in the faith realm. Men and women of God who have demonstrated that they can go beyond the typical level of faith we would expect from ourselves or from an average person. Hebrews chapter 11 lists some powerful examples of men and women of faith. It tells of the faith of Abel, who offered a more excellent sacrifice. It tells of Enoch, who walked with God and was taken up to heaven without dying. It said he disappeared because God took him. We learn of the great faith of Noah, who stayed the course for decades and built an ark that would save mankind. Abraham, who followed the voice of God without even knowing where he was going. And Sarah, to have a child that would be the seed to fulfill the promise of the blessings of God upon his people. These accounts are clearly talking to us about a different kind of faith than I have experienced in my life. If we're honest, we can say that we've got a lot of room to grow in the area of faith. We've got a lot of ground to cover if we want to pursue the kind of faith the Bible is talking about in Hebrews chapter 11. There's something different about that kind of faith. Amen? Amen. And then we read and study about the gifts of the Spirit, the gift of faith, a supernatural portion of confidence and trust in God that surpasses all reason. People don't understand it. This gift has the power to look absolute impossibilities in the face and believe and have complete confidence in God. It's the gift of faith. It's something that God endues in us. And this kind of faith sees miracles and world-shaking divine intervention. The Bible does show us that everybody is operating with some faith in our lives. Romans 12 and verse 3 says, God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. And so my question to you today on this Sunday is that what level of faith are you operating with in your life? What kind of faith are you living with? What kind of faith are you believing for today, right now? When you face adversity in your life, when you face trials and sickness in your family and in your body, what kind of faith are you operating with? What's your faith bank account look like today? Are you barely skimming by week after week with your faith in God? Do you even struggle with your belief in His existence? Come on, be honest with yourself right now. Be honest with where you are with God. Are you ready to believe God for supernatural things in your life? Are you ready to believe God for provision when things get going rough in your bank account? When your job ceases to be there for you, and when provision in this world dries up, and when your health is failing, and when your family rejects you, are you still ready to say, God, I trust you that you're going to be there for me in this valley like you've been there for me on the mountaintop? Or are you one of those that are ready for a supernatural move of God every day of your life, who are believing that this church is going to win this city, who's going to believe that this church is going to have provision to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Come on, is there anybody in here that can join with me saying, I believe that God can do anything, that God can heal somebody today of cancer, that God can loose the chains of bondage and deliver somebody today from addiction? Come on, somebody, God is calling somewhere, somehow, someone to believe God for a supernatural faith that can shake Winston-Salem and shake our world and turn it upside down. There's got to be a place in your life where you move from the basic level of faith that when you came to that altar the first time and say, God, I don't know if I'd understand it all. I don't know if I even believe it all, but God saved me. That's a wonderful and beautiful experience, but God's calling heaven view to move beyond that faith, saving faith to supernatural faith. Come on, somebody, I'm ready to graduate. I'm ready to go to the next level of faith in my life. I'm ready to see God work in bigger ways than I've ever seen. I'm ready to see my kids saved and serving the ministry. I'm ready to see me conquer old strongholds that I've been fighting with. I'm ready for this church to move beyond a complacent spirit and win our city like we've never even expected. I'm ready to see healing, signs and wonders and miracles every time we gather together. I'm ready for my faith to see mountains move. I'm ready for your faith to see marriages restored. I'm ready for faith to go beyond what we ever imagined in our lives. I'm ready. I'm ready. Hallelujah. I'm ready for faith that when people look at me, they say, well, he's biased. He's grew up in the church. God's done so many good things. It's not about that. It's because I've got my mind made up. My heart is made up. I've decided in my life that there's some things that are not up for debate anymore. God is true, and let every man be a liar. Let the doctors be a liar. Let the financial consultants be a liar. Let everything in this world has to offer not measure up to my unshakable belief that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that I ask or think. Come on, somebody, let them call me biased, because I believe in a God that is working on my path. I believe in that a God that is fighting for me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, clap your hands right now and say, God, help me to move past shallow faith. Help me to move past my shallow faith. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There's a phrase that I've heard a lot lately, and it seems to be used more often in the realm of political debate. Don't worry, it's not a cuss word. Everybody relax. It's called confirmation bias. Confirmation bias occurs from the direct influence of our desires on our beliefs. When people like a certain idea or concept and they hope it to be true, they end up believing it to be true. They are motivated by what we call sometimes wishful thinking. Confirmation bias is a powerful force for ignorance and emotional, intellectual, and even spiritual stagnation. I don't know if you've ever talked to somebody about the Word of God and tried to explain to them maybe a fundamental doctrine like the oneness of God, and they've got this wall, this block. When you get to a point where you're trying to explain to them that Jesus said, I and the Father are one, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father, and there's this block. That's called confirmation bias. They've established in their hearts something to be true, something that is holding them back. And if you're here today, I encourage you, open your heart to the truth of God's word. Confirmation bias splits people apart in debate, in philosophical, political, intellectual endeavors. Yet it could also be a powerful force of good in our lives. Because when you have faith enough to believe in God so much that you're convinced your miracle is coming, when you believe that God is able to intervene in your situation so powerfully and so assuredly that nobody can tell you anything but that God is going to win for me. God is going to deliver me. God is going to see me through the situation. Then you're biased. But I'm biased for God today. I am biased because I believe God is going to take over my life. I am biased because I believe that God's going to see me through the valley. I'm biased because I believe this church is going to win the battle of the spiritual darkness. I'm biased because I believe the word of God is true and that every man is not going to be able to withstand what God's word says to be true. I'm biased. I admit it. I'm biased. That's where I want to head in my relationship with faith in God. I want to become a part of who I am. not just something I say, not even just something I do every Sunday, every Wednesday, not even what I do in the morning and get up and pray because it's my routine, because I want it to be something of who I am, my relationship with God, my belief in what he can do for me and for you. I want that to be innate in my heart and what I am as a character in God. I want to head to the place that it's not just lip service. It's who Dan is. It's innate in what God is forming me to be. He's creating in me a heart that serves him and believes that he is able to do anything. Kind of faith God is calling his church to operate under is the kind of faith that drives you to believe so deeply that you're unshakable and that you become even biased. You're convinced, you're persuaded that in your inward parts, God is operating in your life and that you believe that God's going to work regardless of what everything else around you. It looks like God has forgotten you. The people around you are saying God has rejected you. Even your flesh says God is not hearing your prayer anymore, but supernatural faith leads you to the place where you say, I'm biased because I know God is fighting for me. I know that God is going to win my battle. I know God is going to provide for my needs. I know God is going to heal me. Come on, somebody. God is calling people to supernatural faith because it will make the things of this world go strangely dim. Supernatural faith will take away the fear and the worry of the what if and keep you in perfect peace. Supernatural faith will allow you to see and hear God move in and through you because you're no longer clouded by the doubts that are in your mind. Supernatural faith is like a spiritual cheat code to the battleground in the spirit because supernatural faith kept building. It kept Abraham pursuing. It kept Joseph focusing. It kept Moses leading and Joshua seeing victory rather than giants. It will make others wonder how and why because it will keep you knowing who. God is calling somebody to supernatural faith. If you've been struggling to see God at work in your life, if you've been struggling to see God at work in your storm, it's time to move to supernatural faith in your life. When you get this kind of faith operating in your life, you're going to be biased. Admit it. Embrace it. Because you're biased towards the outcome of God performing the supernatural in your life. There's no other outcome possible. There's nothing else that can be visible when you believe God this way. And so the question is, this sounds great, Pastor Dan. How do I get supernatural faith? How do we reach that point of faith in our lives? Well, the first thing we need to talk about is relationship. There can't be supernatural faith without relationship. Too many people want to come to God for provision or for a miracle in their lives, but they don't have a relationship. They don't have a connection with God. It doesn't work that way with each other, and it certainly doesn't work that way with God. It's like that person that you just meet, and all of a sudden they're talking to you about, hey, let's start a business together, or maybe you can slip me $100, or hey, why don't you come and join me in this kind of endeavor, and you can be such a help with me. Whoa, 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 wait a minute. Where are all the other people in your life that can attest to your character, and why aren't they helping you? Anybody been there? Because people invest in things they can trust. That's for free. This is Dan's financial seminar and life lessons here. But it's true. People attach themselves to relationships and opportunities that they have trust in. Yet people want God to perform a miracle, but you don't talk to him, you don't worship him, you don't serve him, you don't live for him, and you want him to bail you out of your mess. You come to a place and ask God, you haven't connected with God in ages, you haven't read his word, you haven't made an attempt to repair a relationship, and you're saying, God, I need you so desperately, and we ought to cry out to God, but you got to repair the relationship with God first. Come on, get your priorities straight. Find a place where you can connect with God and have a relationship with him. First things first, fix your relationship. And then look to move to building your faith. Once you fix your relationship, salvation, consecration, your daily repentance, you can work on taking the steps towards supernatural faith. And the good news is you've already taken the first step. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Church, we've got to immerse ourselves in the word of God. You've got to immerse yourself in the scriptures. You've got to get into that daily routine. You've got to have a time where we dedicate, where God can talk to us. You've got to find a way where the word can come from him to your heart. And if you've got a daily prayer life and a daily prayer time, that's great. But you've got a one-way relationship. You've got to have daily prayer time and you've got to have daily word time so you can have a bilateral relationship. His word is his plan to speak to you. And a prayer is his plan for you to speak to him. And so it's important that we have his word in our lives. Here's why it's important. When you get his word in your life, you'll recognize his voice when he speaks to you. We're so clouded with voices. We've got so many things spinning in our heads. You've got this person that talked to you yesterday about that concept, and you've got this movie you watched that's so anti-Christ that you can't even shake it out of your brain and your consciousness. You've got songs playing in your heart that don't glorify God. You've got social media talking about negativity and politicians giving you lies, and you have no room for God in your life. Come on, somebody. We've got to get the word of God in our lives. We've got to get the word of God in our hearts. We've got to get it swirling in our daily consciousness. And so let everything else be shoved to the side. And let the word of God be preached. Let it be read. Let it be ordained in our lives to guide our thoughts. You get his word in his life, you'll recognize his voice. And that builds faith. You know, some of the most faith-building things in my life, in times in my life, is when I got a word from God. Anybody ever been there? Randomly, spontaneously, supernaturally, God gives you a word. Some people get it audibly, I don't. I get it in my heart, but it's unshakable. God has spoken to me. I've got to write it down. I've got to talk to somebody about it. I've got to preach about it. I've got to do something because God spoke to me. And then it gets confirmed by the man of God. It gets somebody comes and lays their hands on you and intercedes. And God says the same thing. And you've got a confirmation in your life that God just spoke to me. And you're shaking in your soul. And it's building your faith. I'm riding on cloud nine. It's awesome. God is talking to me. We've got to get the word of God in our lives. The next step is to move your faith inward. You see, 2019, especially here in the South, everybody's Christian. Everybody loves Jesus. You talk to someone, yeah, I love Jesus, relax. Don't invite me to church. But there's a lot of shallow Christianity, if we're honest. There's a lot of surface layer people who purport to love God. But we've got to be a church that's different. We've got to be a bride set apart. We can't be like the norm. We can't be a pop culture church that likes to look like Jesus Christ, have a tattoo of a cross or something. And God forgive me if you've got that. I'm not trying to offend you, but we've got to have something that gets in our heart. Come on, tattoo your heart with Jesus's word. Get something on the inside where your faith is not just lip service, where you're not just talking about how you love Jesus, but get it on the inside in your inmost parts where you believe God and nobody else can shake your belief, because I've got faith that makes me biased. I've got faith that can't be shaken. Oh, hallelujah. All right, that sounds good. How do you get on the inward? Well, you can start by eliminating words of doubt from your inner dialogue. Stop allowing your flesh and the enemy to plant words that do anything other than to point to the fact that God is able to do anything in your life, that he is sovereign, that he is on the throne. Come on, every voice outside of God is trying to eliminate that fact. Come on, God is not that. He's not that concerned about your holiness. He's not that. Grace is sufficient. His love, all that's true. But it could be a half lie depending on the context. We've got to stop eliminating those faith-killing voices that we allow into our hearts. Entertainment choices. People we choose to align ourselves with and listen to us who influence us. We've got to get those faith-killing words out of our lives. You may came and thought somebody's going to lay their hands on you and faith is just going to appear. Well, I've come to tell you it's going to take some work on your behalf. The Bible's filled with contracts from God. If you will, then I. If you, then I will. And so if you want supernatural faith, if you want to be able to operate in the kind of faith we read about here, then there's something that you're going to have. There's a sacrifice you're going to have to put on the altar. There's something you're going to have to come to today and say, God, I'm going to lay those negativities at your feet, God. I'm going to lay those voices, those that music, that those podcasts. Come on, whatever, fill in the blank, whatever it's causing anti-God, anti-faith concepts to infiltrate your mind and in your heart. We've got to get it out of our lives. We've got to eliminate it from our consciousness. We've got to find a way where God's word replaces the voice of this world. Have you ever slowed down and paid attention to what's going on in your mind? Some people, not a whole lot, right? No, just kidding. If you pay attention to what's going on in your mind, you ask yourself, what are you hearing? What are you thinking? What are you believing in your life? We're constantly being informed by words, ideas, worldviews, and philosophies. Our personal stories are yet even more so filled with disappointment, brokenness, and pain. Our hearts and heads have been informed by lies, deceits, and accusations from the world, the flesh, and even the devil himself. And we've got to take captive our thoughts today and examine them. Somebody's got to make a decision today that I'm going to take my thoughts captive in my life. I'm talking about taking control of it, putting it in a controlled environment, like putting a ferocious animal in a cage and looking at it and saying, ha, I've got you now. You can't impact me. You can't hurt me. You can't kill me because I've got you captive. That's what somebody's got to do today with your thoughts. You got to take it captive, the Bible says. Then we got to take a close look at our thoughts and consider what we are thinking and believing and why we're thinking and believing. We've got to get our inner voice of our hearts speaking words of faith and not of doubt. Church, we've got to find a way to replace all the doubt in our hearts with words of encouragement and belief in God. The war on your mind is not going to be a passive activity. It's going to be an active, vigorous fight that you're going to have to undertake, fought with the power of God and the spiritual weapons He has made available to us. We've got to convince ourselves daily that God will and that He is able. Come on, somebody help me now. You've got to tell yourself that God is still fighting for me, that I still believe that God is going to see me through, that I still know His word to be true and valid in this day. I believe we've got to work at this. It's not going to come naturally. The book of Jude says in verse 20, but ye beloved, building yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. We've got to be reminded every day, multiple times a day, every day we live, God is able. His word is true. God is able. He's fighting for me. He's going to see me through. He's going to see me through victory. Get in His word. Get it through preachers. Get it through fellowship with Christians. But get it also from yourself. One of the most powerful ways you can build your faith all by yourself is to remind yourself of the past victories that you've won. That's what David did. The Bible says David encouraged himself. He didn't have some fancy words or script that he quoted. He reminded himself, I killed a lion. That lion came almost just a boy, 80 pounds soaking wet with a sling in my hand. Here come a lion, and I killed the lion. Man, that'd be awesome. Talk about a faith-building exercise. And he carried that with him for the rest of his life. When he was running from Saul, when his enemies were at his heels, he closed his eyes. He didn't look at the fact that they were right over that hilltop and he was facing death in its eyes. He closed his eyes and said, God, you helped me kill that lion. That was awesome. You were there for me, and I don't see why you wouldn't be with me right now. And so he encouraged himself by reminding himself of the fact that God was with him in the past and God will be with him in the future. We can remind ourselves when our faith feels weak that God is able. He see me through in the past and he's going to see me through today. But we got to get past lip service, saying you believe in the supernatural, but then acting like it's not really coming is not supernatural faith. We're pretty good here about coming to the altar. God, I believe. I'm responding. I'm doing everything the preacher said. But then we leave here and we go back to the habits that have caused the problems in the first place. We go back and have the relationships that have caused the sin and caused the doubt to creep in our lives. We turn on the same choices that penetrate our eyes and our ears, the windows to our soul, and allow doubt to creep in again, and philosophies that pull God away from our faith. If we're gonna have supernatural faith, if you're gonna have a miracle that's lasting and that is gonna be impactful and world-changing, you're gonna have to get past lip service and live this thing that you believe it. We got to get to a place where it's deep inside of us, where we're convinced, we see it, we pursue it. We're convinced that nothing is going to stop us from pursuing our miracle. Like an entrepreneur who's got an idea, he's going to empty his bank account pursuing that business idea. He'll go to people and ask for help. He'll borrow money because he believes in what he believes in, and nothing's going to stop him. People will doubt him, but he believes in an idea. And if I'm going to believe in a miracle in my life, then I've got to get to a place where nothing stops me. Nothing gives me doubt. Nothing can get me to the place other than believing God is able. Because I'm biased. I'm biased. Church, it's time we've got faith that God takes us to the next level. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost in here right now. In the name of Jesus, close your eyes for me. We're with me right just for a minute right now. Jesus, I'm praying for somebody that's on the edge of faith right now. They don't even know if they've got faith to believe, whether it's in you for salvation or whether it's in you for a miracle, God. I believe there are people, I know there are people that are here today that are desperate for an interaction and for involvement from your supernatural touch. God, I'm praying that the Holy Ghost would move right now as your word is going forth, God. Let it impact somebody. Strip the darkness from our hearts, God. Strip doubt from our lives, God, and help us connect with you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to get to the point where I'm so biased in my faith with God because all I can see is God's outcome. I can't see failure anywhere when I'm in God. I can't see defeat in my family. All I can see is victory in this church. All I can see is healing. All I can see is blessing right now all across this congregation. Come on, somebody. All I can see and perceive is God's favor, His favor, His favor in your life. God's goodness, His mercy. All I can see is our families joining hands and walking down streets of gold for eternity because I'm biased in God. I believe that God is going to do it for our church. I believe that God's going to do it for my family. I believe that God is going to do it for me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Musicians, come, I'm done. I'm past the days of debating this thing. I'm past the days of talking about anything other than God is real and God is going to do a work. God is going to heal. The last days are now. Revival is today. Somebody's going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost for the first time today. I'm convinced that God is about to bless. He's about to heal somebody. He's about to deliver. Come on, if you're here today and you've got chains around your heart, you've got chains around your flesh, God is ready to loose those chains. Let the anointing of God break the yoke of sin. Let the anointing of God break the yoke of bondage in this house. I believe that God wants to move someone from where you are to a whole new place. If you'll commit to God that you will do the part to build up your faith, I believe that you'll do what God has called you to do. Get rid of the faith-killing voices. Repair the relationship. Build an altar. Bring it to the inwardmost parts of your heart. And let's see what God can do. We began our service today, our opening worship song, singing, God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom that can't be shaken. Last summer, many of you know, my mother was in the battle of her life. And it didn't last very long, and I remember so clearly as we heard that song this morning, and as I was studying for this message, of a time, countless times that I made that drive over to the hospital in the neuro ICU. And it was the point where it was clear that she was going to lose her fleshly battle. And I had an encouragement playlist on my phone of songs that I needed to encourage myself. And that song came on. God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness. Whew, I had church in my truck that day. And I remember it was tough. Because what I was hearing, I knew to be true. I was convinced it was true. God is fighting for us. God is pushing back darkness. But my flesh was just seeing defeat and darkness. And so it would have been really easy to turn off the radio, turn off that song, reject the message and saying, what are you talking about? All I can see is defeat. All I can see is darkness. All I can see is death. But I close my eyes today and sing that song because I know even in death, we are victorious. Regardless of the outcome, we are victorious. And so today I declare, in your trial, if you're facing death, if you're facing bankruptcy, if you're facing defeat, God is fighting for us. God is pushing back the darkness. Come on, though you slay me, yet will I live. Come on, devil, I declare it today. You've got nothing that can shake me because I'm biased. I'm biased. I'm convinced in my heart that God is fighting for us. He's pushed back the darkness. He's gonna light up the kingdom that can't be shaken. Come on, somebody, stand to your feet right now and say, God, I'm gonna convince myself. I'm gonna encourage myself and believe. These altars are open right now. Come on, if you need a miracle right now, if you need a miracle right now, God is gonna touch somebody. God is gonna work on your behalf. Come on, somebody, bring your faith to this altar. Lay it on his hands, lay it on his feet, and believe God that he's gonna fight for you right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, let your faith be elevated right now. In the name of Jesus. By the power that is in the name of Jesus. By the power that is in the name of Jesus. I rebuke every idea of doubt. I rebuke every ounce of fear and anxiety, God. Let faith be loosed. Let faith be loosed in this house. Come on, that's it. Use your mouth. Use your mouth. Shout it out. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, drown the devil out right now. Drown the devil out right now. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.